Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a vision for you big book study. My name is Julie R. from California, and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Wednesday, December 23rd. Today we are reading from the big book, and we are on page 15 with the first paragraph. The reference number for Tuesday, December 22nd, is 8288. And today's readers are Lynn S., Amy G., and Penny C. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Janice M. to read the 12 steps.
Well, good morning to you. Good morning to you and everyone. My name is Janice M., and I'm a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater, and that's to you, Julia. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for the knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we try to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Pass.
Thank you, Janice M. And I will now ask Stacy T. to read the 12 traditions. Star 1 to unmute.
Sorry, talking to myself. Good morning. Thank you so much for your service, Julie. This is Stacy calling from Cleveland, compulsive overeater in recovery. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there's but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need to always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all of these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities, and I pass.
Thank you, Stacy P. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone, except the speakers, should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book on page 15, starting with the first paragraph. And I will ask Lynn S. to begin reading.
Good morning. This is Lynn S. from Toronto, Canada. My wife and I abandoned ourselves with enthusiasm to the idea of helping other alcoholics to a solution of their problems. It was fortunate, for my old business associates remained skeptical for a year and a half, during which I found little work. I was not too well at the time and was plagued by waves of self-pity and resentment. This sometimes nearly drove me back to drink, but I soon found that when all other measures failed, work with another alcoholic would save the day. Many times I have gone to my old hospital in despair. On talking to a man there, I would be amazingly lifted up and set on my feet. It is a design for living that works in rough going. My name is Lynn. I'm a compulsive overeater. This paragraph, it came to me that this is the second time that Bill and Lois have set off on a great adventure, but boy, what a different adventure this one is. And it's so amazing. You know, I'm thinking, here's Bill going off to do this by himself. And I know that he has Ebby in the Oxford group, but this is different. This is something really different, and I think what he's doing is different. And his talking about playing plagued by waves of self-pity and resentment and being in despair. And so many times in my journey, I've been thinking, I shouldn't be feeling like this. You know, food is down, life is good, why am I like this? And the reason I'm like this is my thinking goes there. My thinking does go there, and thank God I don't have to stay there, and it doesn't go as far down as it used to go. Now I've got the steps. I know how to work the steps. I've got people around me to support who point out that I should be working the steps when this is happening. And this ability to turn the situation around, I love that. We stood at a turning point. We ask God's care and protection with complete abandon. This is what helps me. This is what gives me a design for living that works in rough going. And the other thing that he said that really struck me was he didn't have work for a year and a half. And I remember when I first came into OA, I didn't tell anybody I was in OA because here was try number 510 that probably wasn't going to work either. And I didn't want to tell anybody. And if I had told anybody, they'd only be skeptical, because I was skeptical, really. But as the time grew, and it was a year and a half, 2 years, my parents, my friends began to see that something was different. This wasn't another one of those diets where I ping-ponged and bounced everywhere. And most importantly, I was different. And I'm so grateful to the program. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, N.S. And who would like to read or share on this paragraph?
Kim G.
Tina.
Larry.
This is Bella. Can I share?
Tina S.
Okay, I've got Tina S.
Hey.
Sally.
Okay. And somebody right before Sally.
Kathy
Kim
K.
It's Kathy K.
Kathy K, thank you.
And Vasa
O. Okay, we're going to start off with Kim G, then Tina F, I hope. I got that right. Larry, Bella, Kathy K, Sally, and Vasa. So go ahead, Kim G.
Good morning. Let me set my timer. Good morning, everyone. My name is Kim G, and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from South Jersey. And I'm going to zone in on I turned my page to something else. That sometimes nearly drove me back to drink, but I soon found that when all other measures failed, work with another alcoholic would save the day. You know, I think we're going to see in a few pages, even before we start working the steps on page 20, it says our very lives as ex-problem drinkers depends upon our constant thought of others and how we can meet their needs. You know, and I like to compare this to what modern-day psychology, modern-day self-help books, all that stuff talks about, because it talks about, no, if you're having problems, you need to practice self-care. You have to learn how to love yourself. You have to take time to take care of you. And that is the exact opposite of what this book is telling me. And from my study in Step 11, it's the exact opposite of what spiritual programs tell you. Spirituality tells you you have to depress self and get other-centered. And that, to me, is the relief I get from me. When I want to get relief from me, I used to think more about me. You know, I think to myself, even with the fourth step prior to the big book, I spend so much time writing about my resentment about me. When I talk to people with their ninth step, the first thing they want to do is put themselves on the ninth step. And I have to tell you, I think the best amends we can do to ourselves is to get off ourselves and actually do the steps. So the big book is telling you over and over, the problem with me is that I'm selfish and self-centered. So how can I get my thoughts off of me is to help others. And he's saying when all other avenues fail, he's not saying when all other avenues fail, I go and talk to Dr. Bob or to Evie, or I go to a meeting. I go and I get my thoughts off of me and I help another person. And I think too, what does the third step prayer tell us? We're asking God to relieve me of the bondage of self. In the 11th step, we ask to be divorced from self-seeking motives. We ask especially from freedom from self-will. So I think this is just reinforcing, if the problem is me, the best thing I could do is get my thoughts off of me and help someone else. And that is so opposite of what I think contemporary life tells us, what psychology tells us, and what society in general tells us. But let me tell you, when I follow this book and when I follow other spiritual practices, it's pretty consistent. The problem is me, get my thoughts off of me, and I can get relief. And I think that's especially a good idea and during this holiday season when we really, really get self-absorbed and self-pity. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Kim G. And Tina S? Or maybe F?
Hi, thanks, Julie. Tina S from Florida. Great reading this morning, and thanks for your service. You know, my wife and I set out with enthusiasm. You know, to help other alcoholics, help them to solve their problem. You know, and by the time I got to the 12th step, you know, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, you know, I had some enthusiasm. You know, I had been transformed. You know, not just my life, but I was different, you know, through the process of the 12 steps. And, you know, and I was eager to carry this message that was so freely given to me, you know, and it says to help the alcoholic solve their problems, you know, and it tells me, you know, on page 45, you know, my dilemma was lack of power. And through the 12 steps, I became empowered through a power greater than myself that, you know, I had a solution that worked today. You know, it works in rough going, you know, if I am diligent and practicing these principles in all my affairs, you know, because again, you know, when I'm disturbed, the spiritual axiom, there's something wrong right here. And when I can remember that, all miraculous things happen in my life. And I'm so grateful that, I became enthused, and I continue to be enthused today if I'm out of myself, and I heard that earlier. If I get out of myself, I got a lot of stuff going for me, but when I'm in self, I can't see the forest through the trees, and, I get tunnel vision. So I'm grateful for the solution today and grateful to be part of, instead of apart from. And so thanks for letting me share, and I pass.
Thank you, Tina F. And Larry K.
Good morning. Thanks so much for your service, Larry K., recovered compulsive overeater. So, here it talks about, he takes off with his wife. He's got some enthusiasm for this notion of helping other alcoholics to a solution of their problems. So, for some reason, for me, the paragraph brings to mind to me the concept of cognitive consonance versus cognitive dissonance. And it's the reason it does, it's basic for me to the understanding of my human thought and behavior. And it ties into why Bill was now ready and willing to carry this message of recovery to those who are still suffering. A cognition is just a belief, it's a thought. And when I'm cognitively dissonant, my behavior does not align or match up with my beliefs and my thinking, So for example, for me, as long as I was trying to carry the message of recovery without having actually experienced a spiritual awakening, however well-intentioned I was, and I think I was, I wanted to help people, I knew deep down that my message was incongruent with what I, had actually experienced. And, if internally I felt kind of fraudulent as I did, after all, I hadn't experienced much of a change. I wanted to experience a change. I just hadn't experienced it. It was like I was still playing around with my food, all the while telling, people how to become recovered, and eventually would become exposed, to myself, if nothing else. If my walk and my talk were not closely aligned, then that level of cognitive dissonance would eventually reveal itself. And that Bill had a spiritual awakening. In this paragraph, he seems to be describing that early state of becoming recovered as a result of these steps. But at the same time, he's consciously aware that self-pity and resentments will crop up. Yes, they will. And what does he do? Well, he's learning that it's imperative that he resolutely turn his thoughts towards someone else he can help. So he's shifted internally from a self-centered existence to a God-centered existence. He's no longer cognitively dissonant. And are there bouts of uncertainty and fear at times? Certainly. But dissonance leaves him because he's now been brought into an alignment with his higher power. And this spiritual transformation has resulted in new cognitions, new beliefs for him. And these naturally give way to new behaviors. Harmonious thinking results in harmonious behavior. Like we hear, as we think, so shall we be. And that's been true for me, Never perfect. I'm human. I'm going to screw up. But this obsession's been lifted, and I know it. God knows it and I know it. So I act accordingly and I carry the message. With that, I'll pass. Thanks.
Thank you, Mary Kay. And Bella G., you're next.
Thank you. Good morning. My name is Bella G., and I am a thankfully recovered compulsive overeater. Thank you, Julie, for doing this service. And thank you very much, everybody on the line. It is a design for living that works in rough going. Oh, such a release, such a freedom. Yes, before the program, I was very much scared from rough going. I was very much scared from challenging in life because of my belief. My belief was anger and jealousy. I believe that all those rough moments, all those rough going on in my life, is because God doesn't love me, because God is punishing me. And I was you know, I was blaming and judging. I was blaming myself and blaming others. I was in a war. I didn't want to speak about them with people. I was very much isolated. I was people pleaser. I didn't want people should see my mistakes, because all the time, in all those challenges, I was to be blamed, because I knew, you see, again I didn't follow directions. Again I didn't listen to other people. Thank you, God, I am not there anymore. By leaving the steps, I understand that I have to change my beliefs. Now, thank you, God, I have different beliefs. Today, yes, this is part of life, to have those rough moments and challenges. And it's not because I am punished. I am human. I am not perfect. And, you know, nobody is perfect. And today I know, yes, I am connected to a loving and accepting power. And yes, when I have those challenges, it's nothing to do with me. I learned to accept myself and to accept my feelings. Sometimes it's not comfortable to feel those feelings. Thank you, God. Today I don't have to be isolated anymore. Today I can talk about them with people. You know, I have to find those people. And, you know, I found that those people are people in the program that will understand me, that will not judge me, that will learn, that will listen to me without saying, oh, but, you know, it's a design, the steps are helping me to live the present in freedom with the challenge and with the rough time. Because today I am connected to a loving power. Yes, God trusts me, and okay, God loves me. So do I. Thank you for letting me share, and I pass.
Thank you, Bella. And Kathy K., you're next.
Hey, thank you very much for your service. This is Kathy K. from Boston, recovered today. And this paragraph, it's just so appropriate for me today to read this, as I have been just in the last couple of days feeling restless, irritable, and discontent, and not knowing what to do about it until I picked up the phone and called a recovered fellow traveler, and she helped me turn around my self-pity and my resentment. And, you know, it took me a while to pick up that phone because I was feeling less than. How could I be back in self-pity and resentment after so many years of working the steps and being recovered? And yet, in reading this paragraph, I'm reminded that we're not promised a life without challenge and a life without being vulnerable to negativity. What we are promised is that when those bouts of self-pity and resentment come to us, we can pick up the phone and do service, which is what I did after I did my turnaround. I then called several fellow travelers and reached out to an elderly friend who is not well right now. So it's just it is a miracle every time I become aware of something inside of me that's based on self-centered fear or selfishness. And I do the work of a turnaround, and then I focus on how I can be of service to others. This is such a great, great way to live, and I'm really grateful. Thank you.
Thank you, Kathy K. And Sally A., you're next.
Thank you. Good morning, Joel. And good morning, Vision, for you. It's Sally A. in South Jersey, recovered compulsive overeater. I think this paragraph is just a wonderful snapshot of a man who is learning to live a new way of living, and he calls it a design. It is a design for living. And so he starts out by showing us socially that he's one of the lucky ones, my wife and I. So his marriage is intact. And for myself, my marriage is not intact. I always wonder what would have happened. It's, you know, God's timing is perfect, and I don't believe there are any mistakes in God's world, per page 417. But here he shows us in just these simple words, my wife and I. It speaks volumes. He's one of the lucky ones. He goes on to say, abandon ourselves with enthusiasm to the idea of helping others. And moving forward, he gives us the snapshot of different aspects of his life. My old business associates remained skeptical for a year and a half, during which I found little work. So you see here, he's still going to have broken trust and broken relationships because much has happened at this point, and it's very similar for my life. That's why I call it progressive recovery, because if you don't recover and boom, everything's back in, you know, in order. I lived a certain way, a certain kind of thinking for 52 years of my life, and I certainly am not going to change in 15 minutes. That's what it tells us on I think it's page 80, the top of page 87. It's probably not that we're going to be inspired at all times. We may pay for this presumption in all sorts of absurd actions and ideas. Nevertheless, we find that our drinking will, as time passes, be more and more on the plane of inspiration. So our thinking does change, and that's what he's letting us know here. So he's got broken trust, broken relationships, number one, and it affects his work, his ability to work. Then number two, he tells us, I found little work. I was not too well at the time. Here we see this picture of page 130. Page 133 talks about the body badly burned. He still has to get well physically. He's a body badly burned. I identify with that. Then he says, I was plagued by waves of self-pity and resentment. So he still has the mental twist. I'm sure that he's neutral when it comes to his addiction, but he still he's healing. He's in the process of healing. And then he goes on to say, many times I have gone to my old hospital in despair. I'm talking to a man there. I would be amazingly lifted up and set on my feet. I love this. We're told over and over about working with others and getting our eyes off of ourselves. My absolute favorite place to look at that is where it says on page 97, helping others is the foundation stone of your recovery. Very important words. And I just want to end with, for myself, I really think the essence of living in the land of recovered, stuff 10, 11, and 12, is the bottom of 87. As we go through the day, we pause when agitated or doubtful. And clearly, this guy, he's telling us agitated, that's resentful, and doubtful is full of fear. I'm sure he was full of fear. He didn't have work. You know, a lot of damage has been done with previous relationships and work opportunities. And it says on the bottom of 87, we ask for the right thought or action. We constantly remind ourselves we are no longer running the show. He needs time to heal. Thank you, Jewel. I'm going to end with this. And bottom line is, here he says it again, we are then in much less danger of excitement, fear, anger, worry, self-pity, or foolish decisions. We become much more efficient. Thanks for letting me share with that, I pass.
Thank you, Sally A. And Basa O.
Thank you. Good morning, Sally. Julie, I'm sorry for your service, and good morning, everyone, and I'm a grateful believer in this program and recovering compulsive overeater. And I could not give to others what I didn't have yet. What I really needed to do, I needed to sit and listen to the program and the 12 steps, how they worked. And even though I did surrender to God, to my higher power, which I call God today, I still struggled with the anger and the self-pity and resentment. And yes, the steps are laid out the way they are. I needed to go step 4 and 5. So, but It says here, my wife and I abandoned ourselves with enthusiasm to the idea of helping others. That was not happening in my own marriage. I came to the program, and I was very excited, very high, you know. Finally, I found something that's going to work, you know, that nothing worked before. And my husband was not happy about it. He did not want me to go to the program. And I had the tendency before, if people wanted, you know, if people wanted me to do something different, that changed my mind. But somehow I knew, even if my husband wanted to divorce me, I remember saying, I need to stay here and I need to go on because this is my life, you know. If I don't do what I'm doing, my kids are not going to have a mother. The grandkids are not going to have a grandmother. And if my husband wants to leave me, then let him leave me. God has a plan here for me. And working with others is very important for me. I mean, somebody called last night, you know, and said, asked me if they could do the 10th step with me. And I put everything down, and I said, I'll be very happy. Came in the room, shut the door, and I did it. So I do whatever I can to help others so freely what I've been able to get through this program. I mean, if somebody wants me to read the doctor's opinion, I'll do it. If somebody wants to just to talk about anything, I'm here. And if I have an emergency, I always say, if it's an emergency, I'll stay. If not, I'll call you back. So I'm just so grateful that, you know, I can give to others what has been so freely given to me. And I'm grateful to be to all of you. Thank you, and I pass.
Thank you, Vasa O. And who else would like to share on this paragraph?
Reva P.
Melissa R. Reva P. Melissa R.
Charles H.
Karen L.
from Boston.
Sharon
L. from Boston.
Melissa C. Okay, hold on a second. I've got Reva P. Melissa C. Before Sharon, there was somebody else.
Katie
D.
from Boston.
No, Katie, you're going to be after.
Karen L.
Charles H.
Sharon L. Charles H.
Karen.
Okay. Okay, that's all. We're going to take on this paragraph because we're going to be moving on. So I have Reva P., Melissa C., Sharon L., Charles, and Katie. So Reva P.,
yeah,
go ahead.
It's Karen L.
Go ahead, Reva P.
Thank you. Oh, I'm so blessed to get an opportunity to share this morning. My name is Reva P., grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater. What struck me in this paragraph is I thought in recovery that when I was finished doing my step work, life would be nirvana, and everything would just be what I thought was perfect. And that's not how it works, and that's not the reason why I do the step work, if I'm truly saying that I give over control and thy will be done. So yesterday I was fortunate to do step 10, 11, 12, well, step 10 with a recovered compulsive overeater in this program. And, you know, I still need to do those turnarounds. So I love the fact that he doesn't say life was perfect from then on because I was recovered. He says I'm still plagued by self-pity and resentment. So the first thing I do is work on step 10 where I remove the blocks, what is going on with the resentment, and then, you know, get right with my higher power. And then I was fortunate that somebody struggling in the food called me last night, and it was my opportunity to resolutely turn my thoughts to someone else and get the focus off of me. The second thing I wanted to share about is that this is a design for living. When I came in, I wanted it to be another quick fix or a six-month program, and then I would get on with what I wanted to do with my life, and that's not how it works, and I'm so grateful that it's not a diet, it's not just a support group, it's a design for living. And there is rough going because that's life. It's not because I'm being punished. Life is just life, and I can match calamity with serenity. The last thing I wanted to share was his perception, this disease of perception, and what he is saying as a recovered addict, alcoholic. He is fortunate that he doesn't have work and he gets to go out for over a year to help other suffering alcoholics. Like, what a shift. And I can look at a situation and be resentful and feel self-pity and victimized, or I can say, what a blessing. So it's not about what happens to me, it's how I perceive what's happening and how I can find miracles and blessings in things that initially seem like the worst things, you know, in the world. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Reva P. And Melissa C., you're next.
Hi, good morning. It's Melissa C., a recovered compulsive overeater in New York. And, I was thinking, this isn't the first time that Bill's had difficulty finding work, you know, and regaining trust in people. So, you know, and the other times that he had those difficulties, it was the perfect excuse to turn once again to the alcohol, you know, and that has also been, the way that I had lived my life at different times. Problems arose, and so it would be the perfect time to once again go back to the ease and comfort of the booze. So what has changed here for him is that he's not self-centered anymore. You know, he's living a God-centered existence where he's putting other people first. And that has also, you know, taken root in my life. And so, you know, we're not promised, heaven here on earth, but we don't have to live in the problem, you know. And so I know now every time that life becomes messy and uncomfortable for me, it really is an opportunity for me to dig in and grow, you know. And how do I do that? Like, here with that 10-step turnaround, you know, and that's not meant to be done alone. But I think that's the important part for me. That's what gets me out of self. That, yeah, some of the footwork I do, you know, on my own, but then I bring it to another person. And so I'm reaching out. I'm having an authentic, you know, human contact. And then when I receive some relief, I find someone else that I can give service to help. And so, you know, for me, the solution is all about in the connection to my fellows, my connection to my other people, and that's what gets me out of myself so that I can live. And this is my divine for living. Thank you. With that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Melissa C. And Karen L., you're next.
Yes. Hi, everybody. My name is Karen L. I'm a compulsive eater. And I'm just starting to get this these words in Bill's story, and for the longest time I identified totally with the first part of his story, but it was so difficult because I couldn't identify with, you know, being 12-stepped and then actually doing 12 steps. And I realized today, you know, I was not there. And no one really, maybe they said it to me, but I didn't hear it. Instead of complaining about what it used to be like to people, because that's all I could talk about, was, it's just, someone said it this morning, sit and listen. If you, you know, if you don't really have the answer, sit and listen. See if you can learn something. And versus just talking for the sake of talking. And but anyways, you know, last night I went to my regular face-to-face meeting, and my sponsor, I thought I was going to see, wasn't there, but a brand new person was there. And she did call me ahead of time saying she was going to go back, and I'm like, oh wow, she's coming back, she's going to drive all that way. So, but it's so true. It's like as soon as I saw her, and we were talking, usually a lot of times on a Tuesday night, everybody's rushing out the door and they don't have time to talk after the meeting. And she says, no, I have time. And I'm like, oh, okay. So it was so nice. And the connection was made because I feel very overwhelmed right now with this holiday season and what I'm going to do and what I'm not going to do. And I'm talking about today, not tomorrow, today. And so it was just nice to have that connection. And, you know, and I have to reach out for the connection every day, though. Today's another day. That was yesterday. So I had a day of reprieve yesterday, so a new day. And it says here, many times I have gone to my old hospital in despair, and I was just thinking, geez, what a great idea for today. What am I going to do today? So I have all these people that I have reconnected with, a lot of people, I guess, that I, thank you, God, that I've reconnected to in this past year. And you know, if I have time, I'm going to, you know, in between whatever I'm doing, I've made a list of, you know, people that I want to do this with just to give them a quick call. Because I, for one reason or another, I didn't send out a Christmas card or whatever. But right then, there's that phone connection and, you know, just to ask them how they're doing. And then to, for me, sit and listen to what they have to say for whatever, a couple of minutes or whatever it is, and then go on. And then I feel better from that. As well as, you know, my motto, as I said yesterday, was mantra, I should say, that I'm trying to practice now is, you know, love God. I've got to do my the 10 and 11 first, and then and sit and listen and see what the direction is. And nothing's changed. In fact, it's even more paramount today than it was 10 years ago. And but this is such a great message. And I guess that's all I really have to say. And and it's just so important for, it helps me to stay present. And so I can hear people and stay connected and go about my, and hear God, most important, and go about my life in a sane and effective way. Anyways, thank you for listening.
Thank you, Karen L. And Charles H., you're next.
Charles H., recovered just for today. You know, sometimes I get a resentment just being on the line. Some people got selective hearing, but that's my own stuff, right? So Bill W. says, you know, still plagued with waves of self-pity and resentment. You know, if I don't turn it around, I'll be upside down, right? Like, let me give you an example. I was talking with my sponsee yesterday, and, you know, he was like, oh, you're my friend. I said, I'm not your friend, but I harmed him because the way I said it. But I ain't going to sell the program out because working with others, that chapter says, you know, well, maybe I have made a friend. I can't force you to do nothing you don't want, but I'm going to be a springboard for this big boy. I'm not selling the program out for nobody. Like, if you let go of me and let me help somebody else. How can you transmit something you ain't got? If you're still in the food, if you're still talking about these Christmas cookies, God's not going to help you put the food down. No person on this line can help you put this food down. We are a springboard to the big book. That's it. We don't sponsor. Like Bill W. come back, he ain't going to help you put the food down. God ain't going to help you put the food down. And Satan ain't going to force you to eat. It's you. It's me. It's Charles H. It's me. It's all about me putting that food down so I can help somebody go through the doctor's opinion. That person is helping me more than I'm helping them. And yes, I get waves of self-pity and resentment. Sure. You know, if I don't turn around every day. So I said to my sponsor, you know, I apologize deeply, and we went on with the step work. But I'm not going to sell it out. I'm really not your friend first. I'm a guide, hopefully. And then, you know, maybe we can make friendships because, you know what, like if you're not willing to do the work, I can't help you be willing. That's a one-person job, right? And man, thank God for this program of action. Some people get to that ninth step, right? Finish their amends and be like, oh, I graduated. This ain't no graduation. This is not no graduation. And every day could be Halloween, Thanksgiving, and Christmas. I'm pretty sure of that. Don't specialize that day. Don't specialize them Christmas cookies. Set your food plan. Give it to whoever you give it to. Get on a meeting, and hopefully you live it in 10, 11, 12, one day at a time. With that, I pass.
Thank you, Charles. And Katie G., you're next.
Hi, Julie. Katie G. from Boston. Multiple reader and expert Kimberly Mix. Let me just get my timer. Okay, so I looked up the word abandoned, and it says to leave and never return because of danger. Danger, 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 right? So what have you guys taught me? That the main problem, my main problem is in my thinking, right? And I have this self-centered fear that, like, when I come up on a problem, I need to solve it. And so I, like, do a step 10, and my biggest fear is if I stop thinking about it and turning it over, and which is not turning it over, but if I stop thinking about it, like, I want to go and I want to have a good think on it. Like, I want to think about it and write about it and talk about it, and all of these are really good, right? Like, we do our step 10 and we see where we're wrong, but then I have to move on. And it is that, like, moving on and that phase that, like, when I have a problem and then I stop thinking about it and I throw myself harder into helping others, like, numerous times I'll do a step 10 and I have the privilege of having a profession where I work hands on hand with other people. So I go throw myself harder into helping others. Or yesterday I had the total privilege of talking to this brand spanking newcomer who had no idea about 12 steps. She had no idea that there was hope away from anorexia and bulimia and, you know, pure self-hatred. And it was like, whoa, you know, like all the problems that I was thinking about, right, they vanished because I could say to her, yeah, me too. And you know what? I'm not living my life today based on fear of being fat, based on fear of not being thin enough, based on not getting enough exercise, all of this, like, self-obsession. And it talks about, like, in our sex conduct, it talks about we throw ourselves harder into helping others. And it, in that particular portion, it talks about, like, we will eat again if we stay focused, if we engage in a harm and we're not sorry and we don't correct it. So, like, it's, you know, I'm just so blessed today because I know that even though I want to go and sit in the corner and have a good think, that my program is structured. I have my recovered hammock of women that I call when I'm falling short. I go to God, I talk to them, and then I throw myself harder into helping others. How can I be of service to newcomers? How can I be of service to friends? And, you know, how can I be of service to my family, to my boyfriend? You know, and sometimes when people call me, I'm like, relieve me of the bondage of me. Like, I might not be much, but look at, I'm all I think about, and that is the problem. That is the danger that I need to never return to. So thanks, Julie, for your service, and thank you to all of you doing this with me a day at a time. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Katie G. And we are going to stay on this paragraph for a few more shares. Who would like to share?
Rachel W. Nessa R.
Nessa R.
Sarah W.
Before Sarah W.
Rakesha C.
Before Sarah W., there was somebody with the last initial of K.
Kristen.
What page?
Okay, didn't quite catch that. So we're going to go with Rachel.
K.
Rakesha C.
Okay. All right, Rachel W., let's start with you.
Hi, good morning, Julie. This is Rachel W., recovered compulsive overeater calling from New York. You know, so many people now are traveling on the road, and I remember a road trip that we took in the 90s with my husband and my small children. I was driving, anyone but summits drive from New York to Illinois. It's like at night, you know, during the day, it's, you know, you see the mountains of Pennsylvania, et cetera. And then once you hit Ohio, it just becomes really flat and boring. And when it's 2 a.m. and the only station that's, like, mildly interesting is somebody, you know, trying to give compelling evidence of life on other planets, you could go a little berserk, you know. And this is the late 90s, you know, before Sirius XM and all that other good stuff. So I remember driving, and I was abstinent, and I remember thinking about all the treats that were behind me and thinking that, you know, I could probably just handle one. It's been a while. You know, I could probably handle something. And as soon as I thought that, the faces of the people in my home meeting flashed before my eyes. And I thought to myself, this is what they mean when they say that service is abstinence. That when I'm abstinent, when I'm in my private moment and I'm choosing to be abstinent, I'm actually strengthening the fellowship. I'm actually strengthening the people around me, because who wants to go to their home group and report that they broke their abstinence, you know, on a highway just because they couldn't handle, you know, what the drive, you know? Like, I didn't want to do that. I didn't want to be in that position. And I felt like, at the same time, it was a support for me to see their faces, and also it was a responsibility that I had to stay on my food plan. And I just want to end off here with today's reading in the Voices of Recovery. It talks about the benefits of service, and it says here, the recovery and growth I received, this is an OA approved literature, the recovery and growth I've received from doing service surrounds me. By sponsoring, I learned how to be in a relationship. By leading workshops, I learned how to be a facilitator. By chairing a committee, I learned how to work on a team and was able to transfer those skills and that knowledge to my family. I learned how to listen and how to compromise for the good of OA as a whole. And so I learned how to listen and compromise for the good of my family and my relationship. I learned that I don't have to do it all. I learned that group conscience works in many situations, including work and home. I learned how to speak in front of a group of people and have made that my professional career. I learned that I am intelligent and capable. I am learning who I really am and who I am becoming. All of this for the small price of some of my time and energy. Your worth has been immeasurable. Thank you for letting me share, and I pass.
Thank you, Rachel W. And Nessa R.
Hi, good morning. This is Nessa R., recovered in Toronto, Canada. I'm grateful to be on the line. The line that speaks to me is the last line. It is a design for living that works in rough going. And to me, that's a promise. And it's tied to other promises in the big book. Even the next paragraph, it conveys the same idea, the joy of living we really have, even under pressure and difficulty. And then in page 50, it says, in the face of collapse and despair, in the face of the total failure of their human resources, they found that a new power, peace, happiness, and sense of direction flowed into them. And, you know, these three passages have the same thing in common. To me, it tells me that when I need program the most is when things are the most difficult. And I often hear, you know, when I speak to people, you know, like all these excuses, I'm too busy, I don't have time, you know, my life is too stressful, I have so many problems, you know, as reasons, you know, quote-unquote reasons for why, you know, they don't have time to devote to do the work. And, you know, I'm thinking like, so when are you going to do the work when everything is going your way? When things are going my way, I don't need the steps because I don't have any resentments. I don't have any fears. You know, I don't need the steps. When I need the steps is when I'm feeling restless, irritable, and discontented because life is throwing curveballs my way, you know, when there's financial insecurity, when I have a difficult boss or, you know, rebellious children, health issues, you know, God forbid, you know, all these challenges that life brings, that's when I need the steps the most. If I'm going to wait till everything is perfect for me to work the steps, I'm never going to work the steps because, you know, it precludes that work. And what's going to happen is I'm going to be succumbing to the mental obsession and then picking up the food as a way of coping. And it makes no sense to me. And you know, I just hear it so often in the rooms, but this is the true gift. The true gift is that when things are tough, I have a way of dealing with life that doesn't draw me into the food and that brings me closer with my Creator. And with that, I pass.
Thank you. We have about 3 more minutes. We'll try to see how many people we can get through. Kristen K., you're next.
Julie, hi. This is Kristen K.
Yes, go ahead.
Oh, hi, everybody. Kristen K., recovered compulsive overeater from New York. And I just wanted to comment on, this has been an amazing meeting this morning. I don't usually get, due to my work schedule, get to be on the call, and I'm off this week, so I'm grateful to be on the call. And I'll just take this 2 minutes just to say that I was just at a meeting yesterday, and, you know, there was a lot of talk of, you know, all the tools and not a lot of talk of the steps. And, you know, for me, what I shared at this meeting was that for me, I stressed the point of getting through the steps to get to step 12, to get to work with others is the highlight of this whole program. You know, for me, that's my opinion. And, you know, this paragraph talks about that. I mean, you know, when people, I mean, how selfish is it for, this is, again, my opinion, that, you know, when people get through the 12 steps and then they don't give it back, you know? I mean, that's, you know, the page before talks about it meant destruction of self-centeredness. Like, that's who I am at my core. And I love that line about the self-centered selfishness, you know, exclamation point that talks about in the big book, because that's who I am. And if I don't get out of myself, which is my problem, and help another, you know, recovering or, you know, person struggling with the food, then, you know, then I'm still just the selfish person I was to begin with. So anyway, I just wanted to say that I'm so grateful to be on the line, that, you know, working with others is the highlight of my, the bright spot of my life, as they talk about in the big book, and with that, I'll pass. Thanks.
Thank you, Kristen K. And I know we had Sarah and Rakesit were lined up, but we are out of time, unfortunately. Please stay for the second half so you could be able to share. Thank you to everyone who shared. Please join us for a second unrecorded hour of study immediately following. We will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And Amy G., would you please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only. Amy G., star one to unmute. Okay, how about Penny C.?
Hi, Julie. I'm here. This is Penny C.
Great. Thank you, Penny.
Okay. Thank you so much. Let me get just down to the page, okay? Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.